The Bailout Bunch.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Our fallout coverage of the financial crisis continues this morning with what could be the sound of credit markets thawing. Can you hear it? Bailouts are springing up around the world. The German cabinet just said okay to the terms of a $645 billion bailout for banks. Bank and insurer ING picked up a $13.5 billion injection from the Dutch government today. Sweden, too, is joining the list of countries giving money to banks with a plan worth more than $200 billion. And South Korea today made the biggest bailout move yet by an Asian government. Marketplace's Scott Tong has more from Shanghai.
Korea's government put up $130 billion to support its troubled banking system. The message to the markets was, hey, we're good for it. And Korean stocks gained 2% today, and its currency picked up 1%. Here's the underlying problem. Before the credit crunch, Korean banks figured the best way to borrow was in U.S. dollars. Interest was low, and so was the value of the dollar.
The problem is all good plans tend to go awry at some point.
That's Bill Belshear of Macquarie Securities. When financial markets dried up, so did Korea Inc.'s credit line.
When you go into a global credit crunch or there's risk aversion, you don't want to be in a position where you are borrowing money offshore to fund your growth.
Seoul's new loan guarantees are meant to keep the credit flowing. It's a small step compared to what American and European regulators have done, but Korean banks stand healthier, as far as we know. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Testimony is on tap today by Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke. He'll talk economic outlook to the House Budget Committee. Wall Street will weigh that today with the world of bailouts. The Dow ended 127 points lower Friday, down 1.4% to 8,852 so far this morning. Futures are pointing up. Japan's Nikkei closed nearly 3.6% higher. European shares remain higher. It's been almost a year since a rogue trader took a major French bank for millions. Well, it's happened again at another French financial institution, Caisse d'Epargne. This time, though, it's not an ambitious young back-office banker that's incurred the illegal losses. It's the head of the bank. Megan Williams reports.
2 weeks ago, the head of one of France's biggest banks was sure the markets were headed up, so sure that he and his trading team ignored the bank's own rules limiting risk and bet big. Oops. Now the French Caisse d'Epargne is $800 million poorer, and CEO Charles Milhaud and chief officers are gone. Milhaud blamed the loss partly on what he called the exceptional volatility of the market and didn't ask for departure compensation. Economics expert Pier Paolo Benigno says it's another case of CEOs going after bigger bonuses.
Their bonus is usually related to the profits that they make, and the more they make profits, the more the risk they take. So, you know, these are the problems that of incentives.
The news apparently won't affect Caisse d'Epargne's upcoming merger with another major bank. To help restore confidence in banks, France has ordered an audit of all of them. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, working to provide responsible, sustainable energy to power America's future. Constellation Energy, the way energy works. And by The Economist, every week covering issues that matter around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
So, word this morning of more bailouts around the world. Of course, we're still trying to understand the latest move from the U.S. Treasury to pour $125 billion into the nine biggest banks in the country. Words like nationalization have been thrown around a lot. Let's throw that out to Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan. What do you make of it?
Well, I think no one has seen anything like this ever. So people are making up it as they go. And I hear that sometime next month there's a presidential vote in the United States. Is this true?
You know what? I think that's coming up here, yeah.
Right. So with all of this, things have to be reduced to a soundbite. So it's nationalization, the end of capitalism as we know it, and just realizing that people are doing the best they can and have no idea what to do, that all disappears and everyone races to put a brand on it and then shriek.
And so what are you doing in this case? Is this the end of capitalism the way you look at it?
No, it's not even remotely the end of capitalism. If you look at the terms of the investment the government is making in these nine banks, boy, I would kill for somebody to give me that much money and exert so little control over my life. I mean, if Paulson has got $100 billion looking for a home, I mean, I'm there.
But there are some that would say just the fact that it was Henry Paulson, that it was the government making this kind of deal with banks, is a step away from capitalism.
It's a step away from their definition of capitalism. I mean, you have a minimum wage law. That's a step away from capitalism. We have unemployment insurance. That's a step away from capitalism. We have bank deposit insurance. I don't hear any of the banks saying bank deposit insurance is socialistic, which it is. So the parts they like, they want to keep. But having the government come, give them money at 5%, which is incredibly cheap, have no strings on it, and that's nationalization. Well, that's nonsense.
And what do you say to all the people listening that are shaking their heads saying, yeah, but in the end, what's in this for me?
Well, I mean, I'm not a great fan of any of this, but I think what they're doing here is a lot better than the original plan, which I considered ridiculous, to go out and try to buy trashy securities from banks. What's in it for us is avoiding the risk of a worldwide financial collapse. And I really don't like some of these bigger institutions, which have really messed up bad, and now they're getting cheap money and having the nerve to whine about it. But show me an alternative.
Alan Sloan of Fortune Magazine, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Renita.
In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.